Thank you, sister. Well, the brother that's going to speak this afternoon, I've had the privilege to work with him many times. And I know that you've been fed well, and you might have a tendency to be a little sleepy this afternoon when you're filled up and be like a bear and want to try to find a shade tree. But I know that if you listen to our brother, your servant, that you'll be fed today again spiritually of the living manna. And so I ask you to try to keep awake. I know this is a hard time sometimes for us to stay awake after we've eaten and get all warmed up and one thing and another, but you're going to miss if you miss something that he has to tell us. And so I ask for our brother and apostle, Smith Brickhouse, your careful and your prayerful attention.
Thank you, Hubert. You know, it's too bad I have to get up and preach. I was enjoying that singing so much. I could take a couple hours of that. That was beautiful. What a blessing. See the talents in the Church of Christ and the blessings of God upon us. Aren't we thankful? So we've gathered today to come out of the world. I was reflecting last night on that program, and I enjoyed that so much. I'm just so thankful for our forefathers and those who've gone before us, and for the time that we have now to serve the Lord. I'm thankful for your prayers for me, and I've virtually been blessed, and I feel great. Not everything is perfect. They tell me I have to lose some weight, so I appreciate your prayers for that. You know, but I'm thankful for your prayers. I received a hand-delivered card while I was up here from the little class here at the Phoenix Local. And they had been praying for me. And I want to let you know, kids, that the Lord heard your prayers. And he blessed me, and I'm thankful. And he'll hear all you kids, all your kids' prayers for whatever we have a need for. And he knows your thoughts, and he knows your faith, and he'll bless you. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here in Phoenix at the Phoenix Reunion. What a blessing. I thought last night, God's answer, God's place of refuge, the Phoenix Reunion, from what the world, for whatever reason, calls Black Friday. Huh? Aren't we fortunate to be able to be here and to be away from all that stress, all those things that typify our society today, that we can come together be united and feel the presence of God. I'm excited to be here. I'm thankful for the Phoenix Local for their preparation, both physical and spiritual, in providing for our comfort and for the all the laborers and that are involved in the dinners and the preparation and the planning. And it's a joy to be among the body of Christ. We have much to be thankful for. We celebrate the Day of Thanksgiving. Our country was typified last night, and you know, was proud to be American, weren't you? You know, and the restored gospel, the two records that we have, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, our spiritual experiences that each of us have been blessed with, and the testimonies we've heard, and the testimonies we've had, the healings that we had. If I look around the congregation, and many of us are walking miracles. Just to be here, you know. The Lord has blessed us. And he'll continue to bless us as we approach him. And as we give honor and praise to him, he'll hear our prayers. He knows our needs. We're here to worship God, to take some 2-3 days out of the busy schedules we have, and to come together united. We I hope today that I've got some purpose in my subject. I like us to remember the blessings that we have and come here with spend the next couple of days with anticipation of hearing the Lord's word preached and His Spirit felt. We have the responsibility to bring that into our services, to worship for it, that He would speak to us, that He would reveal things to us, that He would do even mighty miracles among us as we are gathered here. Expect it, and He will bless us. That we are remembering to reflect upon why it is we're here. You know, what are each of us here for? What did we come for? What was our expectation? What do we hope to take away from here? What's the desires of our heart, the good things that we've come for? And we reflect on that and to ensure that the time that we have, you come with full purpose of heart to glean those things out of the sermons, the beautiful songs, the prayer services, the testimonies, whatever we have, the fellowship, the time that we have among our brothers and sisters, that we use it for God's purposes and we glean those things so we can leave here spiritually strengthened to overcome the cares and trials of this world. I hope to bring words of encouragement, hope, and a sense of direction in our life, a reminder of the things that we're in this time of confusion and dismay in the society that we're forced to live in. Remembering the promises that God of God towards those that dwell on this land and our responsibilities. And as He helps us to prepare for the time at hand. We all came with expectation. We all have a desire. I am reminded as I think back on the Phoenix reunions that I've been blessed to attend and the joy I've had over the years at all of our church reunions. And I am reminded of Enos, and I've used this recently several times, so some of you have heard it. It's written in the book of Enos, and I would like to turn to that on page 194, the book of Enos, the Book of Mormon. It says, "Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God before that I received remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father sunk deep in my heart." You know, he reflected. You know, he went out into the field or out into the forest to hunt the beasts of the field. But we go to our works every day. We go to our places of abode. We go to our schools, wherever it may, and go out into the society. And we have opportunities while we're driving or whatever we're doing to reflect on the joy we have in the gospel, to reflect on those things that we're taught and have been taught from our youth and give God praise and thanksgiving for it, the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. And so I hope as I read these and I can imagine the joy that he had and that experience that we'll glean that from this reunion, that we'll reflect upon it and build upon it, that we might be able to overcome the trials and the temptations of this life. Those things that beset us, those temptations, the stresses of life, the violence and the things that we have to live through each day. God has a plan. He is the one that's in charge. and we can overcome this world and have a need to overcome, and he'll bless us beyond measure, beyond anything that we've even experienced in our life. And that's all offered to the righteous, for you and I, for the body of Christ, for the pure in heart in the last days. And so, I hope that we will remember that, to continue with that as we go here the next couple of days. We know we're a blessed country. You know, we've got all these things wrong with us. We do. It's a country. It's the best country in the world. Don't ever forget it. Still the best country in the world. We listen to the news, we listen to the politicians, we listen to read the newspaper, and all we see is violence and sin and destruction and confusion. But it's a sign of the times. It's what God has so told us would happen. And it should give us an assurance, and that we have a need to be faithful. You know, the scriptures talk about a time of tribulation that's going to come, a time of destruction, a time of woes upon this land and upon the land of the world, the lands of the world. But the scriptures teach us the righteous need not fear, for he will not forsake them. Yes, there will be some of us who are lost, taken from the evils of the world and blessed. There will be some of us that will be steadfast and immovable. And we need to pray for one another continually that we might be among those, that he'll be able to use us as his people. I'm going to read from a tract. In fact, I'm probably going to read the whole tract that our brother Don McIndoo, wrote many years, well, I don't know about many years, in the 90s sometime, I guess. It's God's Purpose in America. I hope you've all read it, but you're going to hear it again. Might have been a while. It's been a while since I read it, and I was looking for something, and I picked it up, and I decided to download it off the computer and read the whole thing. Each man harbored his own thoughts as he surveyed the wilderness that just lie below the anchored vessel, beyond the anchored vessel. But awaited them in the dark forest. What awaited them in the dark forest beyond the wind-blown surf? None could tell. 369 years ago, this handful of wanderers had dropped anchored off the cold New England shore. We cannot say they little knew the import of their arrival on this quote-unquote new world, for they had come with a glowing purpose. They came, as Israel had done so many years before, into a land of promise led by their Lord. Feeling the hand of destiny upon them, they came ashore determined to build a city set upon a hill, as their first governor expressed it. You know, do we have that same conviction? They came in anticipation. They came with a purpose. Were they? Today. It's being offered to us. God has set aside this country for that very purpose. You know, his people might gather, be able to worship, have the liberties to be able to serve God and to worship him and to have a desire to build, to be a peculiar people, to be a pure in heart and to build a city upon a hill, to be in the light of Christ. Just as our forefathers did. Coming as they did with nobility or gentry among them, they set about to establish a community on the principles of equity, justice, and personal righteousness. Each man had set his signature upon a quote-unquote constitution, the Mayflower Compact, dedicating himself all due submission and in obedience to the general good of the entire community. Is it any wonder this ragged handful of pilgrims in a harsh land had survived and prospered when other colonies better supplied and supported had failed in mild milder climates, an explanation can be found in the scriptures. A promise of God for them, a promise for God for us. The Lord, quoting from Deuteronomy, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. And you know, he has called us all out of the world, at least, for whatever reason. Think about it. Think about where we were. Many of us, some, you know, were born in the church. Don't know anything else. Many of us have been every place else in the world. All those places we should have never been. Called out. There's not any kings or queens among us, no gentries, no rich and famous, no entertainers, common people for whatever reason. We aren't the best looking folks in the world, but God has called us out to be his people, to bless us in our righteous desires to serve him, to direct us, promising us spiritual strength and direction in our life. Going on, but this was all long ago. Today, Americans, pilgrims explore the dark wilderness of drugs, deviant lifestyles, debauchery. No need to quote all the headlines describing the fall of so many prominent politicians, preachers, and economic pirates into unethical practices. Greed, dishonesty, promiscuity. Meanwhile, Americans are troubled by a growing awareness of a rise in violence, anti-Semitism, racial hatred, social iniquity. In this land of promise, is there a solution of such problems as these? You know, this was written 15 years ago, 20, 25 years ago. Think about those things. Reflecting back in the 90s, the mid-90s, it looked like it was written. The second printing was 1999. The news of that day compared to there, how much more we are within that as a nation. Is there a solution? He goes on and he says, yeah, there definitely is. First, it is important that we understand that the Lord has a purpose in America and her people. One part of that purpose is that there be established a land of liberty where men are free to worship God. He has promised that we can be free and bless people in this land of promise forever. However, this promise is conditional. Listen to the Lord's words to the people of America. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. Words of the prophet Ether from the Book of Mormon. If America is to fulfill the divine purpose and secure the blessings of God upon this land, we must repent of our many sins and return again to the faith, humility, and righteousness of our pilgrim forefathers. We know how true it is, the time and the season that we live, but the promises of God are sure. Those promises are still for us. There has been a reason God preserved this land. There was a reason many, many centuries ago. There's a reason today. That there might be a place of refuge, that there might be a people, a light on the hill spoken of, that there might be hope, that we might be able to express that to those around us in the times of trials, in the times of tribulations. the hope that God will not forsake his people. Think about the promises of God. Think about the things that have happened in the world from the beginning of time. The destructions, the woes that were promised, and how God had to deal with that. And at the time of Babel, and he confused their language and spread the people all over the world because they were getting ahead of him and becoming prideful and thinking they had done these things themselves, of the need for the flood, and yet some were preserved. Of the bringing the Jews out of Egypt, preserving them for his purpose as his people. Ended up only a few of them because some of them turned into a time or a reflection for us in our lives of what happened here at the birth or the resurrection of Christ here on this continent and the destruction upon it. And we find that Christ said you were preserved because you are more righteous. For the more righteous, there's hope for us. That even though he shows us that and tells us of times and troubles that will come upon this land, the economic woes, the destructions, and there is hope. Just as he preserved Israel. Just as he preserved Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just as he preserved Noah and his family. Just as he preserved the brothers in the third book of Nephi. That preservation, that promise is for us. I hope we'll remember. Those promises, the prophecies that have been given, the examples that have been given, that will bless us with an assurance that God is in charge of all things and that we can endure, we can overcome. He'll never forsake us. I was going to read the 23rd Psalm, but read it. Gives you a lot of assurance. Don't have time. The body of Christ, the church of Christ, to be a light to others, you and I. Not some group somewhere else, not some future generation, you and I. The Lord is counting on each one of us. Whatever age we might be, old or young, we can be an example for Jesus Christ. Our souls depend upon it. The souls of our brothers and sisters and our families depend upon it. Our neighbors. I'm going to turn to Jude. And it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. warning us. Jude is the book right before the book of Revelation. He's warning of our future events, and he's telling us. There is going to be, he's exhorting them, and he's exhorting us today that we have to earnestly contend for the faith. Contend for the gospel as we deliver to the saints. There will be those that are coming and changing. Things are being changed in our society. The righteous things are going to be called evil. We're going to be persecuted for our righteous stances. Yes, some of us might lose our lives for the righteous stances that we need to take. And we're going to find, well, in this very country, as we turn and even the churches of the world or of the world and of the country are teaching tolerance of things that are sinful, that are abominations, are whoredoms, whatever. And the laws are being changed, the traditions are being broken down, and what was good is ending up being bad, and what was bad is completely acceptable and expected. But we have to earnestly contend for the faith as was taught by the saints. He'll bless us in it. We're to be that light. We're to be different. We're to know that the Lord is with his people at all times. And he goes on and explains some of these, you know, and he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and the things that happened, the destructions, and is warning them. And he says, woe unto them. And he's talking about the ungodly things and the ungodly people and their deeds over in the 15th verse. And he names some of them, and he says, they are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you their should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, central, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord and Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We have to pray. We have to continue separating ourselves from the world, and we have to place our faith and our trust in the promises of God, that he might have mercy upon us, that we might have eternal life. A warning, a prophecy of a time, even the time that we live in, of the need for us to earnestly contend for the faith. We find in 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter. Know this also, in the last days perilous times should come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Our time. Without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Our time. People don't control their emotions. Don't control their lusts. We're lost. They're turned their evils to strange flesh. They have completely succumb to iniquity. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The world is full. Our society is full. The entertainment, the football, whatever activity you might be in the world today, that draws us away from Christ. A time of as we're bombarded with it. It's almost more than we can take. But we know that and have chosen this day one of those places of refuge. And have come away from that. And the Lord will bless us with His Spirit and direct us. It's His promise. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Our scientists today, our theories, you know, you hear all the time, they've come out with a new solution. Or there's a new finding of something, only to fall short, you know, of what the scriptures say. God is faithful. And we have to continue to remind ourselves and tell ourselves that we have a responsibility to ourselves, to our nation, to our church, to be His people. And God will not forsake us. We have the assurances. We have the teachings of the scriptures. I'm going to turn to Matthew. 6th chapter. I want us to reflect on the fact that the scriptures tell us of a destruction, of at least an economic chaos in this world and sometime in the future. It may be happening now, might not be now, but it's coming. We see all the signs, those things that draw us away into the cares of the world. And the Lord says, why labor ye for these things? I'd like to turn to the 19th verse. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Laying up, saving, treasuring, those things that we labor for. What do we labor for? Where is our heart? Are we wasting our times on the cares of the world? We all are, in some fashion. And the Lord is calling out to us to contend for the faith, to separate ourselves, to be convicted, converted to serving Him and to be a light upon the hill. He says, for where your treasure is, will your heart be also. Have we got ourselves caught up in debt, the stress, trials of the society we live in? Do we allow the things that our culture say that is important to overtake us in our life? We all have to some extent, whatever it might be. And yet the Lord is saying, forsake that. There's no promise in it. It'll rot. It'll come to nothing. All that's going to be destroyed. And the only thing that we have is the treasures that we lay up for heaven and eternal life. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. 33rd verse says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Tells us all these things. No, he tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wonderful promise. Not really hard to understand. We have to have faith and put our trust in them. We're going to stick out like a sore thumb in our society. And that's hard for us to do. It's hard for me to do. It's hard for any of us. We're going to have to earnestly contend. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not, and ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye might, it shall be measured to you again. Again. The promise of God. He knew of our very time we were going to live, and Jesus Christ talked about it, telling us in the Gospels here and the Sermon on the Mount, a wonderful sermon, and his instructions to us in the last days. It tells us all the things that we must do to obtain eternal life, even telling us how to pray and to supplicate. And we have a need to remember. Sometimes I feel we get caught up in some of the theology of everything and forget the plain, simple things to do to remind us, to be meek and lowly of heart, to love one another, to treat others as we ought to be treated, to have concern and have compassion for those around us. The love of God. We have to contend for it. We find that in those times of destructions that in the previous time, we find that the faithful, were preserved, giving us assurance that those things that happened in the past will happen in the future in this time. On page 75 of the Book of Mormon, 7th chapter of Nephi, I want all of us to remember these words. I want the youth of the church to know these words. Okay, there's times of trials. We talk about it, and we might scare people with it. Is that as a warning? But as much as the hope that we have in those words. Verse 34, for the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured upon the children of men. All inclusive, is it not? For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even it so be that the fullness of the wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by a fire. Wherefore, the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if so be as by fire. The promises of God, that unchangeable God, that God who in the third chapter of Malachi, in verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God will not forsake his people. The sons of Jacob, the house of Israel, the church of Christ today. He will not forsake us, his promise. We have to be his people. We have to continue and endure. We find those same teachings, of course, in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, in the 8th verse, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. James, in the 1st chapter, no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Time and time again, the things that God has said will happen, those times of destruction are coming. The time at hand, we can read it in the scriptures as they tell us, just the day and the time we live in, what's going to happen in the future, and what's the promises is for the pure in heart. That he will raise up a generation of the pure in heart that he'll be able to mold and shape and uses his people as he gathers them from throughout the world. That's the promise. That's ours. We have a responsibility to believe it. We have a responsibility to seek it and to make it a focal point in our life. Choose ye first the God that we serve. Mammon or the God above? That's the point that we're all at. All at various stages of it. I'd like to read some of those promises. I'm going to turn to page 663, Book of Mormon. Starting in verse 99. And my people, which are a remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles. Talking about this destruction that's going to come about among the Gentiles here on this earth, in this country. Yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if they go through both tread it down and tear it in pieces, and none can deliver. Their hand shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe unto the Gentiles. But there's hope. Except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off the horses out of the midst of thee. I will destroy the chariots. He's going to completely destroy those things that we cherish. Those things that we have put as images in our life and allow them to separate us. These are going to all be destroyed. He's going to take those graven images and they'll be shut off and cut off in verse 103. And our standing image, those things that are among us are going to be done away. Why labor ye for those? Say, I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of the groves, were those places where they stored the idols, those places that they went to and worshiped man-made idols, whatever they are, we all have them. Those are going to be taken away out of the midst of thee. So I destroy the cities. And it shall come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and amings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. The cares of the world. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, at that day, whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Goes on, he says, but if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come into the covenant and be numbered among the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and as many of the house of Israel shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called a New Jerusalem. A city built by a people pure in heart that have come and humbled themselves. And they shall assist my people to be gathered and scattered upon the face of the land into the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst, and there shall be the work of the and then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when the gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. All happening right now, some of it. Much of it is a near future event. And we have a hope, I hope, of being part of that. That's what we've been set aside for. That's why we've been chosen as his people. That's our responsibility. But we have the responsibility to live up to those things and to place our complete faith and trust in them. We find in the Old Testament, Book of Micah, 4th chapter, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Wonderful promise. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Promise of God. In the last days, it shall come to pass. It's going to happen. The mountain of the house of the Lord, the establishment of the government of Christ on earth, will come to pass. It'll be the hill upon the mountain. It'll be the city. The light upon the hill, it'll be the pure in heart that have come, and the Lord will come there also. And though his marvelous work will start in the gathering of the house of Israel among the nations, the scriptures testify it. It's a belief that we all have, I hope. Further spoken of, even by ether, even was given, you know, that in his day. We turn to the 6th chapter of Ether. On page 750. It says, and now I, Moroni, proceeded to finish my record, concerning the destruction of the people which I have been writing. For behold, they reject all the words. They have turned away from anything and everything that Ether had. For he truly told them all things from the beginning of man, and how that after the waters had receded off from the face of this land, it became a choice land above all other lands, a chosen land of the Lord. That's the land of the Americas. It's the land that we live in. Wherefore, you know, those that the scriptures tell us that everybody that has come here has been sent by God for a purpose. Just as we've been sent here to the Church of Christ for a purpose in him, to glorify him, to be his people. Wherefore the Lord would have that all men should serve him, which dwelt upon the face thereof, and that was the place of the New Jerusalem. Sounds like what I read there in 3rd Nephi. This land, which should come down out of heaven, the holy sanctuary, and the place of the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Behold, Ether saw the days of Christ, and he spake concerning a new Jerusalem upon this land, and he spake also concerning the house of Israel, and their Jerusalem from whence Lehi should come, after that it should be destroyed, it should be built up again, a holy city unto the Lord. You know, he's talking now of a new Jerusalem to be built upon this land. He said that the Jerusalem of old was going to be destroyed, was going to be built up, a holy city, once again, and be built up, a holy city unto the Lord. New Jerusalem and a holy Jerusalem. Wherefore, it could not be a new Jerusalem, for it had been in time of old, but it should be built up again and become a holy city of the Lord, and it should be built up unto the house of Israel, and that a new Jerusalem should be built upon this land unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph, for which things there has been a type. For as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, so even so he died there. Wherefore the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they should perish not, even as he was merciful unto the father of Joseph, that he should perish not. Wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance, and they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old. Going to build up a holy city. like the Jerusalem of old. His place of his house, his mountain, his place of the government of Jesus Christ. And there shall no more be confounded, even until the end come when the earth shall pass away. There will be a gathering of the people to those two Jerusalems. It'll be a place of refuge. A place that God has prepared for his people. The hope that we have. It says there's, and then there's the final judgment. He says, and then there shall be a new heaven and a new earth. And they shall be like unto the old, save that the old have passed away, and all things have become new. And then cometh the new Jerusalem. And blessed are they which dwell in there. For it is they whose garments are white through the blood of the Lamb, and they are they which are numbered among the remnant of the seed of Joseph, which was of the house of Israel. New heaven and a new earth. And then the new Jerusalem is going to come with its occupants. That's what it sounds like. I believe it's that same new Jerusalem on the page before this. Somehow it's going to be preserved according to the promises of God when the new heaven and the new earth comes. That new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven and will be there with God's people. He says, and then cometh the Jerusalem of old and the inhabitants thereof. Blessed are they, for they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That new, that holy Jerusalem that can cleanse the Jerusalem will also be preserved and will be placed in a new heaven and a new earth. And they are they which were scattered and gathered in from the four quarters of the earth, from the north countries, and are partakers of the fulfilling of the covenant which God made with their father Abraham. And when these things come, it bring to pass, the scripture would say, They are they which were first, which shall be last, and there are they which were last, which shall be first. Promise of God, place of refuge, holy sanctuary unto the Lord. According to the scriptures, promised to whom? The righteous. Those have earnestly contended for the faith, that listen to the call, that have been obedient, that have the hope of eternal life and have yielded and are numbered among the righteous, have entered into the gate, have been baptized, have been received the Holy Spirit, have walked in that straight and narrow path, has endured the trials and temptations of the world, has feasted upon the words of Christ and gained strength, and has placed as a priority our rock, even the rock of Jesus Christ. We find in the 15th Psalm, it expressed, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? Who's going to be there? What does it say? It says, he that walketh uprightly worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, the righteous, not the murmurer, not the disobedient, not the, you know, those that have despitefully used you, not that have turned from the Lord, but those righteous who speak truth in the heart, that put those things into their heart and into practice in their life, and whose eyes a vile person is condemned, shunning evil, abhorring it, making sure that we don't partake of it. But he that honor them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that might even be persecuted, he that might even be taken from this life to be rewarded. He that putteth not out his money to usury, that take advantage, not those that have greed and are worried about collecting the things of the world and making idols and building our groves to place them in and our own little kingdoms. No, not them. See, they're not mentioned. He did put not out his money to usury, nor taketh away a reward against the innocent. But he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Jude's telling us earnestly contend not to partake of the things of the world. I hope we have. See, my time is gone. I hope that today that we have a hope in the time of hardship that we have. We can look at the scriptures and get direction in this time of confusion. That we recall and remember that we serve an unchangeable God. That we keep in remembrance to be faithful servants, a peculiar people, different, separate ourselves. Be sterling examples, as spoken of in an early revelation, and be a light unto the world. It should be a purpose in our life to bring encouragement, to bring life, to bring hope in Jesus Christ by our life. To bring, I hope that we can remember the instructions that are given in the scriptures to put Jesus Christ as our first priority, to live it, to believe it, to place our complete trust in him, to be a meek and lowly heart, coming with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and allowing him to direct us to be our example. That we remember to be an example for our youth, that they might not be lost in this time of confusion, but let them know of the hope that we have and the promise and the coming of the place of refuge and the gathering of the people of the Christ, even here upon this earth. It's a promise. It's extended to us. It's part of our belief. We have to discuss it. We have to believe it and teach it. That we might be like our forefathers that stood on, were on that New England shore and had a desire to build a city upon a hill. Is that our desire? That should be a focus, to be a part, to build that city of God, that he might be able to use us, pure in heart, a generation of the believers in Jesus Christ. I'd like to close with reading from page 325. In the Book of Mormon, the words in the fifth chapter of Alma. I thank you for your time. And I'm going to start in verse 32. For as I said unto you from the beginning, that I had much desire that you were not in a state of dilemma like your brethren, even so I have found that my desires have been gratified. You know, for I perceive that ye are in the paths of righteousness. I perceive that ye are in the path which leads to the kingdom of God. I think that fits most of us here, if not all of us. You know, and I perceive that. And you know, my hope was that I might bring us to remembrance of the things that we've been taught, that we might remember them and put them to practice in my life. Yea, I believe that you are making his path straight. I believe these, that it hath been made known unto you by the testimony of his words that you cannot walk in crooked path. I hope that we are more aware of the deceitfulness of Satan in the use of our time and our resources and our priorities in our life. Neither doth he vary from that which he said. Neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, or from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore, his course is one eternal wrong. And he did not dwell in unholy temples, neither can filthiness, nor anything in which is unclean, be received into the kingdom of God. Therefore I say unto you that the time shall come, yea, and it shall be at the last day, that he which is filthy shall remain in his filthiness. Woe unto us. The promises of God. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God. We have an opportunity this very weekend, as we've already taken a good step and separated ourselves from the thing of the world, the things of the world. We've gathered in among his people. And I hope we've awakened our sense to the importance of the words that we're going to hear, the testimonies, the sermons, the teachings of God, that we glean from them, that we feast upon them and get all our spiritual energy for them, that we might leave the Phoenix reunion, be charged and be strong and steadfast. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you, might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God, that you may walk blameless before him, that you may walk after the order of God after which you have been received. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, earnestly content, asking for whatsoever things you stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things you have received, and see that you have faith, hope, and charity. Then you will always abound in good works. May the Lord bless us. May we be his people as he challenges, as the world challenges, to be different, a peculiar people. Let us build on the promises of God and pray and fast for the church, for our missionary endeavors, for our local congregations, the need for us to have strong congregations wherever we might be, that there might be a body of believers that the world might come to and be taught by example, by word, and by deed. May God bless us. Thank you.